Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields. Welcome once more to Food for the Journey as we prepare for the great feast of Pentecost. Please, I would encourage you at times, re-listen to these programs. You can do that just by going to renewalministries.net. If you normally listen on the radio, you can just go to renewalministries.net on the web. And when you get to our main page, just click on radio. And then look for Food for the Journey, and you can listen and re-listen as many times as would be helpful to you. So I encourage you this week, if you have access to a computer, really encourage you this week to do that, because I want you, what I'm praying for you, is that as this Sunday approaches, you will be more eager for God. You're more willing to die to yourself because you want union with God. You want the source of all love. Don't settle for anything less. Don't ever settle for anything less. You want the source of all love and the source of all truth to be central in your being. So let's take a look at these readings for today. The first one, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 22, verse 30, and then chapter 23, verses 6 to 11. Wishing to determine the truth about why Paul was being accused by the Jews, the commander freed him and ordered the chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin to convene. Then he brought Paul down and made him stand before them. Now, Paul's facing quite a crowd here. But look at his mind, how clear it is. Paul was aware that some were Sadducees and some Pharisees. So he called out before the Sanhedrin, "My brothers, I am a Pharisee, the son of Pharisees. I am on trial for hope in the resurrection of the dead." Now he said that it's true. It was absolutely true. But he said it purposely. Look at this. When he said this, a dispute broke out between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the group became divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection or angels or spirits, while the Pharisees acknowledge all three. So, in a certain sense, Paul, clever, purposefully, gets them into arguments with one another. A great uproar occurred, and some scribes belonging to the Pharisee party stood up and sharply argued, "We find nothing wrong with this man. Suppose a spirit or an angel has spoken to him." The dispute was so serious that the commander, afraid that Paul would be turned to pieces by them, ordered his troops to go down and rescue Paul from their midst and take him into the compound. The following night, the Lord stood by him and said, "Take courage, for just as you have borne witness to my cause in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness in Rome." Brothers and sisters, Paul used a technique there. He divided his opponents, gave them a little more room to maneuver. But Paul also knew, and most importantly, he knew he had to be sold out for God. And he was willing to do that. He didn't shirk what he might face. He didn't do any of that. But he used all of his intellectual gifts to see what he could do to divide the opposition. If you divide, you can conquer. That's what he was trying here. The Sadducees say that there is no resurrection or angels or spirits, while the Pharisees acknowledge all three. A great uproar occurred, and some scribes belonging to the Pharisee party stood up and sharply argued, "We find nothing wrong with this man. Suppose a spirit or an angel has spoken to him." The dispute was so serious that the commander, afraid that Paul would be torn to pieces by them, ordered his troops to go down and rescue Paul from their midst and take him into the compound. The following night, the Lord stood by him and said, "Take courage, for just as you have borne witness to my name and to my cause in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness in Rome." So Jesus is letting them know not even the strategy, but he's letting them know the main points of what he's asking them to do. They are obedient servants. They will do what God asks them to do, even if they don't fully comprehend, even if it leads to trouble. How loyal are you to God? Even if you know something is going to cause you difficulty, still, are you ready to do it if it's God's will? That's another way in which the Holy Spirit works in us. He gives us wisdom to know how to speak. Sometimes in situations where people are opposed to the gospel and to its teachings, God can actually give us words to speak. But the other part of it is that we're willing to be obedient, that we're willing to do it, that we put him before ourselves. Do you? We really put God's word, God's truth, what God is asking of us, do we honestly put it first or not? See, what God wants to do by his Holy Spirit is to lead you and me into all truth. And if we have imbibed what our society offers us to, well, that's your truth. This is my truth. There is no thing as subjective truth. Truth is truth. It's objective. It's a reality. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The essence, the source of truth is in God. It's not in my opinions. It's in God. And today you see all across our society, we're rejecting God. We're rejecting truth. And we end up rejecting God. We don't want to follow God's law. It's too restrictive. I don't understand it anyway. And there's no effort made to understand. Brothers and sisters, we need to be men and women, as they used to say, of the book. We're shaped by the Gospels. We're shaped by the grace of God. We're shaped by our obedience to God. Are you? Are you? It's nice to say, but the question is, are you living it out and repenting when you fail? And you'll fail many times. Doesn't matter. Get back up and do it again. And after a while, it gets ingrained in you and begins to become stronger than your own selfishness and stronger than your own self-will. But you got to go through the process. Sometimes God will just do it. But most of the time, he asks us to cooperate with him because it gives us deeper self-knowledge. And it shows us how we can be victorious in Christ. The Holy Spirit does all of that for us. So let's draw on him. The dispute was so serious that the commander, afraid that Paul would be torn to pieces by them, ordered his troops to go down and rescue Paul from their midst and take him into the compound. The following night, the Lord stood by him and said, "Take courage." There it is again. Take courage. God has courage for us. "For just as you have borne witness to my cause in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness in Rome." Doesn't say, brothers and sisters, exactly where we're going to need to bear witness, but we will be called to bear witness. We really will be called to bear witness to Christ. Bear witness to the truth of the gospel. Bear witness to the teaching of the church. Bear witness to the power of his word. We will be called to bear witness by your life. Can you do that now? Can you open your heart to God now? Say, use me. So there's no better preparation for Pentecost. Use me. Use me for the building of your kingdom. Use me for your glory. Lead me. Teach me. Help me. He will do so. Keep me safe, O God. You are my hope. It's not, I'm going to succeed here, I'm going to do well here, I'm going to have influence here, I'm going to have more money here. Those are not the things that make us secure and influential. It's obedience to God. And we can cry out, keep me safe, O God, because you're my hope. You will show me the path to life, fullness of joy in your presence, the delights at your right hand forever. Therefore, my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body too abides in confidence, because you will not abandon my soul to the netherworld, nor will you suffer your faithful one to undergo corruption. It's the psalmist crying out, I know who I am. I know what you've made me to be. I see the gifts you've given me. I want to use them. I want to belong to you. I want to follow you. I want to be known as yours. Let God grace you that way for this Pentecost. Open your heart to him. Tell him. Tell him what you hope for. In this year of mercy, it should be emphasized to us that there is nothing God won't do for those who repent of their sin, turn to him and ask to be empowered. John 17, lifting up his eyes to heaven, Jesus prayed. Now, I want you to hear this as we close this program. This is how Jesus is praying for you, right now. I pray not only for these, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, so that they may all be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them, you in me, that they may be brought to perfection as one, that the world may know that you sent me and that you loved them even as you loved me. So there's a grace for unity that God wants to give among the many. But speaking here, that's what he prays for us for. And that you loved them even as you loved me, Father. They are your gift to me. Look at that. They are your gift to me, the people you've given me. I wish that where I am, they also may be with me, that they may see my glory that you gave me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world also does not know you, but I know you, and they know that you sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will make it known that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. Listen to that. Listen. I made known to them your name, and I will make it known that the love with which you, Father, loved me may be in them and I in them. Christ is saying, help them, Father, to know the love that you and I have for one another and to know that I love them as you love me and I love you. That we love them. The Father, I love them. That's us. That we're drawn into that incredible union of the Trinity. Really, this is not poetic. These are not just pious thoughts. That's what Jesus is praying. Take time this weekend to read John 17, especially those verses, as you prepare for the great feast of Pentecost. May God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. God bless you.